You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, brought to you in part by YouBeauty.com. Questions or comments? Call 877-577-5611 or email udocs@gmail.com. Now, here are Joe Galuski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and the star of the show, Dr. Michael Roizen, M.D.
Hey, welcome to the Passionate Radio Show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen. I'm Joe Galuski. I'm here just as much to learn things as from Dr. Mike and guests and experts as you are, and we thank you for listening. We mention Dr. Deb Lonser every week. She'll be away for a couple of weeks. She's a pediatrician. She's away. She'll be back again soon. She's a very important part of the show, as you are, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. On the phone, 877-577-5611. Dr. Mike, you ready to begin another piece of broadcast history today?
We are, but I think the number changed, Joe. I think it's 877-711-5211. So
we better tell the young lady who just announced the other.
Right. They announced it wrong. We got to get that announcement right. I think it changed to 877-711-5211. So Sonar, who's our engineer, if you're there, Sonar, you can tell us at the break if we're right or wrong, or just interject. But in any case, Joe, say it again. Yeah, so it's 877-711-5211.
Okay.
And also we have Bridget here.
Hi.
Hello. Are you an innocent bystander? Are you an expert? Or are you learning?
She's actually a dietitian who's helping with some of the preparation for the show. So she's got her own favorite stories for the show. You know, if we do the top 10 medical stories, so I said I'm always going to put you on and ask you your top story if you're here.
Well, welcome to the show. I hope you learned something. I learn something every week as well. And how do you enjoy being a dietitian?
I enjoy it a lot. I guess it's great to give people advice and help them with their diets.
Do you practice what you preach?
I do.
Oh,
I do.
Very good.
Yeah, you know, Kristen Kirkpatrick, who's on the Dr. Oz show from here a lot, is this Bridget worked with Kristen Kirkpatrick, and says she's her role model, and they both are strikingly beautiful.
Now, generally speaking, what's the best, without getting into too much detail, I'm sure when you work with different people, patients, you have specifics you have to address and goals and things. But generally speaking, what's the most important piece of advice you can offer someone to eat correctly?
I like to try and tell people to stay away from highly processed foods. My diet basically consists of the Mediterranean diet, and so I think that it's important to eat plant-based foods and then also to get a well-balanced diet as well.
Are you a meatless person?
I am a meatless person.
Yeah. And how long have you been meatless?
Since my senior year of high school.
Wow, very good. Very good. It can be done, right?
It can be done, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's much easier, I think, than people think.
Originally, well, how is that? Because I've eaten meat all my life and still do, but is it difficult getting away from eating meat as it is, say, to quit smoking or break some other, not very good habit?
Well, I've never been a smoker, so I can't answer to that. But I think that I might be a little biased since I changed my eating habits so young. I was 17.
Yeah.
But I think that if you have the mindset of it being a short-term thing, that you aren't as overwhelmed by thinking that you'll never eat a piece of meat for the rest of your life and then maybe occasionally allow it. And then it just slowly becomes more and more a part of your everyday.
Can you do it to a cold turkey, or do you need to wean yourself off it?
I would say that weaning yourself off it is a better approach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. One of my daughters is totally meatless and has been like that since she's been in high school. Does meat repulse you?
No, sometimes I actually think that it smells really good.
Yeah. That it does. Well, I hope you're enjoying yourself, and it's a lot of fun to do this show every day, and glad you're there. Coming up in this hour, it's our guest at 34 past the hour. It's Dr. Peter Ubell. Dr. Mike, what can you tell us about our guest coming up in about 25 minutes?
Well, he wrote a book called Critical Decisions, How You and Your Doctor Can Make the Right Medical Choices Together. It's actually, you know, for a guy who's an ethicist and a physician, an internist, he writes beautifully. And this is really a magnificent book. So I'm going to have a lot of fun with him. He probably does remember, but I think I helped train him way back in his youth when he was at the University of Chicago. So he's got double jeopardy from me.
Well, the basically, his, you know, we've all been there sitting uncomfortably in a paper gown as the doctor describes a prognosis. And sometimes it's simple and treatable, and other times we get the news. We get the news, and we're faced with decisions that are literally life and death. When it gets to that point, when you get a diagnosis that is the challenge, more of a challenge, does that take? Is that a special skill that some doctors have and some doctors don't have in terms of communication?
Well, it obviously some doctors have it and some doctors don't, but it is a learned skill. It's not innate. So we. It's teachable, and we have a course, matter of fact, at the Cleveland Clinic where we teach all of our new doctors communication with patients because it is so important. We never did that before, so we started it about 2 years ago when we've learned how important communicating with patients is and how it's a learned skill. So, yeah, it is. Some do it better than others, and in fact, we send out these satisfaction questionnaires to patients, and one of the key things is how well did your physician communicate with you. I, as you know, I'm an institute chair, so we get fed back every physician score in our institute, and those who clearly don't do as well, we encourage strongly to take this course. The new docs are required now to take it, but we ask the docs to take it so that they get better at this. And there are some key things about both being empathetic and being scientifically accurate and making the explanations in common language.
I've always wondered about that. When the doctor has to relay some, you know, bad news about a treatment or a condition that is going to be kind of tough to handle, is it difficult for these doctors to have to be the bearer of bad news in some cases?
The toughest thing I've ever had to do is... And it only happened to me, you know, you think with, I did probably 10,000 cases of cardiac anesthesia and probably 6,000 or 7,000 of vascular anesthesia. And you think with all that, I would have had to go to explain to people that someone died in the operating room. And I've had to do it twice, once on a very bad gunshot wound when we were in trauma surgery. And another time in an from an operating room. And to me, the toughest thing to explain is, or the toughest times are when the patient doesn't make it. And that was something that was unexpected. Obviously, in a trauma case, every time you go in the operating room with someone who's got a gunshot wound, it's very unexpected. I mean, the family usually doesn't expect the gunshot to break out that afternoon before the person comes in. And cardiac surgery, although some of these are very long shots, it's very tough to explain and talk to the family afterwards because you feel like if you'd only done X, Y, or Z, or even if you did it as perfectly as you could, you still have that inner thing, what if?
Yeah, it's got to be one of the, as you say, one of the more difficult things that you would have to do. Quickly, what's your Real Age tip of the week for the end of the first hour? What's the topic?
Clinical trial to assess new blood pressure treatment for drug-resistant hypertension. If you got a problem with high blood pressure and the medicines or side effects, there's a new treatment.
All right, Real Age Tip of the Week coming up. Coming up in the next segment, some of the top medical stories of the week. Pot linked to a certain form of cancer. And for young athletes, some good reasons to break the fast food habit. That's coming up among the other stories on Youth the Owner's Manual Radio Show. With Dr. Michael Roizen. Stay with us and thanks for listening.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranty Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance, and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranty Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom. And I'm a face of influenza.
Health officials now recommend everyone 6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And by the way, we are streaming live too at GabRadio.com, GABRadio.com. If you want to stream live on your computer, you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen, and I'm Joe Galuski, brought to you weekly by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com. Before we go to our guest at 34 past the hour, Dr. Peter Udell, let's run through some of the top medical stories of the week. Connection between marijuana and certain cancer. What's that?
Testicular cancer. The lifetime risk for men having testicular cancer is about 1%. Obviously, you know, Lance Armstrong is the one who popularized the process most, probably. And it turns out that if you smoke marijuana twice a week, once a week on a regular basis, you have twice the risk of testicular cancer. It goes up to 2%. There are three prior studies on it, so this is the fourth study on it. And this is an association. We don't know the cause or effect. So the question is, where are we in the process? And does, you know, obviously medical marijuana is being used in patients who have cancer pain, and it was thought benign. And so the question is, does it increase the risk? Does it decrease the risk? Does it increase the risk of some cancers? It's something we will have to explore longer. But in any case, this one is from a teenager or guy's standpoint is, if you're going to smoke once a week, please check your gonads.
Medical marijuana, what's your take on that? I don't think I've ever asked you about that, medical marijuana. Where do you stand on that issue?
The issue is, if it is non-smoking, that is, we know that smoking a joint is the equivalent of smoking four cigarettes from the standpoint of risk of cancer causing. But obviously, you can get the active ingredient in THC by eating it in brownies, etc. And there's some people who are at stages of cancer where they can't eat enough, that is, they have lost their appetite, or they have severe pain, and that's unrelieved by other mechanisms, except for mechanisms that have a lot of complications, such as narcotics. Well, this seems to be appropriate for that small segment. It's really a small segment. And so in those people, there's no reason not to do that, unless it causes cancer. So this was in people who smoked joints. This testicular cancer was 163 men who smoked joints more than once a week, I believe. And that was compared to 292 people who didn't have testicular cancer. But in any case, smoking of it seems to be the problem. So if you're going to use it, have it in other techniques.
I would think there'd be some connection between marijuana and lung cancer too, right?
Well, there should be, but, you know, we don't have a long enough history on it. In other words, cancer of the lung takes about 20 years. Well, we're just getting into that period where there are enough people using marijuana with enough regularity that you might see that. And what we've got from the associations are that one joint is the equivalent of four cigarettes. Well, there are very few people who smoke three joints a day. To get up to the risk factor where we see a high enough prevalence of lung cancer early enough to say, yeah, this is definitely bad. So it takes a long period of time for that inflammation in the lung to occur and to cause cancer, much more likely, obviously, to cause disease of the arteries, that is heart disease, stroke, memory loss, wrinkles on the skin in women, impotence in men, or decay in orgasm quality in women.
Smoking a pipe, smoking a cigar, lung cancer rates as much as you would smoking a cigarette?
Not as much, but oral cancer, that is of the mouth and gums, as much, in fact, more. But the one cigar is the equivalent, again, of about four cigarettes in smoking, and people say they don't inhale. Well, yeah. That's, you know, that's an old wives' tale if you don't inhale. And the same thing with pipes. And pipes have a very high incidence of oral cancer, just like chewing tobacco does.
Yeah, sure. Remember that ABC News report that called a beef extender used in, you know, restaurants, supermarkets, pink slime? Remember that thing about a couple months ago?
How could you forget pink slime?
Well,
it was produced by a couple of places out in Iowa, I remember, one of which went out of business, I was told. But it essentially, it dilutes the beef and all the stuff on the floor that they have no other use for. It's the junk of the beef, and they put a nice name on it. And mixed it with hamburger and make the hamburger even less good.
Yeah, right. Well, the company that makes this so-called pink slime has filed a $1.2 billion lawsuit against ABC for running the story. The lawsuit says the ABC reports were false, misleading, and defamatory, and caused people to believe the extender was unhealthy and unsafe. And the company says the report caused beef products to close, the company to close three plants and lay off between 600 and 700 people. For its part, ABC says the suit is without merit. So the company that makes this stuff says, ABC, you were way out of line. So apparently they're going to sue the network for over $1 billion.
Oh, I thought when I looked at the $1 billion is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But when I looked at the report on the ABC, I thought ABC actually was relatively conservative. It was all the other people who took off after mm-hmm. they got it, and all the people who loved the name Pink Slime.
Yeah, well, they said it's they said ABC says it's unhealthy, unsafe. How can the company say that? I mean, is it unhealthy? Is it unsafe? I know schools aren't providing beef products now with this pink slime in it, but.
Yeah, well, all red meat is unhealthy, so they're safe there. Mm-hmm. And if they say unsafe, meaning that this had formaldehyde in it.
Right.
You know, and a whole bunch of other, I mean, it had aluminum and a formaldehyde in it. I mean, it isn't something I would even feed to a dog.
No. Right. Okay, before we go to the break on the guest, there's a connection between omega-3 fatty acid supplements and the risk of major cardiovascular disease, so... What is the deal with these omega-3s, Dr.?
Well, this article was this. There's an article that drew a lot of attention this week in the Archives of Internal Medicine, where it looked at all the other studies on omega-3s, and the headline was, "They don't make a difference." Well, it made a 9% difference in sudden cardiac death and 4% in overall death rate from something that isn't very that has no toxicity that we know of. So if you say, and it's good for the brain and good for your eyes. So you say, would I take it? Yeah. And in fact, this is one time when supplements may be better than food. We always say, and I really truly believe, food is usually the right way to get nutrients. Well, the problem is that fishing has become so weird that the only fish with omega-3, that is with the native fish fats in it, are salmon and trout. So what do we have? So the way to get your omega-3 really this time is in supplements. Fish has good protein, don't get me wrong. But if you're going to go for omega-3s, every one of the studies that involve supplements as opposed to the fish studies didn't show a significant difference. The supplement studies showed a big significant difference, about 13% in sudden death, 9% in all-cause mortality and heart attacks. So I would go with the supplements. You want 900 milligram equivalent of DHA, which means 3 grams of EPA and DHA, or 900 milligrams of DHA. DHA converts to EPA. So that's how I take that as my personal choice.
DHA and omega-3s are two different?
DHA is the long-chain omega-3 that is the active omega-3.
Okay, and everybody should do that, or?
I think, well... Yeah. Until you get to age about 10, you take 20 milligrams per year.
Okay. All right, coming up is our guest segment right after the break. It's Dr. Peter Ubell. His book is called Critical Decisions, How You and Your Doctor Can Make the Right Medical Choice Together. He's a doctor and a behavioral scientist at Duke University, and we'll get you and your doctor off on the... right way to communicate with each other that will benefit you and the doctor both ways. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only one in five girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now.
The words you say to her today.
Can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Snowboarding is a popular winter sport. Snowboards look like big skateboards made from fiberglass and plastic. Snowboarders ride their boards much the way surfers do, steering by shifting their body weight. Most can reach speeds up to 40 miles per hour. Twice as many injuries happen to snowboarders as skiers. The most common injuries are to the wrist, usually when snowboarders use their arms to break a fall. The American Academy of Pediatrics does not recommend this sport for children under age 7. For older children, make sure the snowboard fits the child. An easy way to determine this is to make sure the board stands no higher than the child's nose. Children should always wear helmets and gloves with built-in wrist guards, and they should resist trying advanced stunts or dangerous tricks until they've mastered all the basic snowboarding skills. And for more information on your child's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's one thing to have a job in this economy, but it's another to have a career that you love. Getting the skills for today's careers may depend on your college degree. So if you're interested in the future of business, electronics, information technology, or drafting and design, call ITT Technical Institute today. With over 100 campuses nationally, ITT Tech can prepare you for a career in one of these fields. After all, tens of thousands of ITT Tech grads have built a solid future. Perhaps they can do the same for you. Classes meet just a few times a week, and financial aid is available to those who qualify. So what's stopping you? For more information and to schedule your campus tour, call ITT Tech toll-free at 800-574-1319. That's 800-574-1319. ITT Technical Institute, education for the future. 800-574-1319.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week for this hour coming up in about 15 minutes. You know, many times problems in communication between a doctor and patient can lead to some bad medical decisions. As a physician and a behavioral scientist, Dr. Peter Ubell has quite an interesting and unique understanding of this situation. And his book, Critical Decisions, he addresses the problem while revealing a new revolution in medical decision making. It's combining eye-opening medical stories with behavioral science research and offering some pretty important information and common sense solutions to promote better doctor-patient relationships and make sure the right decisions made in life-saving medical situations. The book is called Critical Decisions, How You and Your Doctor Can Make the Right Medical Choice Together. Dr. Peter Ubell, the book from HarperCollins Publishers. Dr. Ubell, thank you for joining us here today on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. When people need a recommendation for a doctor from somebody, they're not really, I think, interested initially in their maybe education or their expertise or accomplishments, but how well do they communicate? Is he able to put somebody at ease? I think that on the surface, it's kind of a question that may not be a very high priority question, but for a lot of people, pretty important.
Oh, absolutely. I think you can go to a doctor and
and think, wow, he's, you know, he or she's really well educated, and I hear they have great technical skills. But if they don't communicate well with you, how can they work with you to help figure out what you need?
And people have decided to leave a practice because they just couldn't seem to find any common ground in terms of the dialogue with the doctor.
And that's probably, you know, that's an instinct that's probably worth following.
Yep. Here's Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike.
Peter, I really enjoyed the book, and I want to ask you one overriding question, which is, where did you learn to be such a great writer?
At the University of Chicago, when I first met you, actually. I've been writing for years, but I took a course.
I didn't mean that. I was not seeking that answer, but I mean, you really write. I mean, even if you don't want any of the medical knowledge or information in this book, it's a series of wonderfully fascinating stories told incredibly engagingly. So I would put this book, you know, it's a book for everyone's bathroom shelf, if not the plane or any place else. It's a wonderful book.
Music to my ears. I'm passionate about writing and passionate about communicating. And they come together at the bedside when you're a doctor, but I think also I've really tried to do that on the page.
Now, one of the great stories, and by the way, Joe was asking me before how we communicate and what we do at the Cleveland Clinic, and so we now have a course for all the new staff and the residents on, it's called Critical, not Decisions, but Critical Conversations. And so all of our residents and interns go through it now, as do staff, and we get evaluated probably by every patient. I think it's every third or fifth patient gets a satisfaction survey, and one of them relates to communication. And then the institute chairs get a note on each. We get a table of each of our physicians and their scores on communication, and those that don't do well get the privilege of being asked to take the course. So it is something we're trying to do something about. You're at Duke. Is there a course in it down there?
There is, but and courses are really important. It's so easy for us physicians to slip into bad habits, though, when we're spending 8 or 10 minutes per patient. We feel rushed. When we read medical journals, they keep telling us more tests to order, and we get into so much into the technical scientific parts of our job. We forget sometimes that ultimately we're working with another human being, trying to understand their life well enough to know what to do to help them.
So the book is called Critical Decisions. Now, one of those you and your wife faced were what to do with breast cancer. And I thought it was particularly revealing that you said, well, she was, I think at the start of it, she was 45 and shouldn't have gotten the mammogram to begin with. You tried to dissuade her from getting a mammogram in the first place.
Yeah, she won't let me live that one down.
Well, you put it pretty prominently in the book. But that does go with what happens when, if you were the physician in this case, and the patient said, I want a mammogram, even though I'm 45, and forgetting the fact that she hadn't told you what her physician had said on palpating her breast, but which she didn't apparently tell you at the time. But in fact, what do you do when there is a difference between you and what the patient wants?
Oh, I think you negotiate and you try to find out why they want what they want. And sometimes you educate, sometimes you cajole, and you really try to persuade as a physician. So it's not something, you know, what I'm trying to do in the book is I'm trying to take us beyond this just idea that if we just inform patients, now we've empowered them. And I think a lot of patients come in and they get overwhelmed with information, either that they've already found out on their own on the internet, or that the doctor spills, you know, out of his mouth when they come to see him. And empowerment is more than just about information. It's about understanding the role your values as a patient play in making the right choice, that the right decision is not just a medical decision. It depends on value judgments, and your values matter.
Well, let me give you a interesting dilemma that happened at the Oz show on after Monday's show. On Monday, he said, "I'm not saying any if you will, drug names or any supplement names or manufacturers' names, when we come across a supplement that works, such as this was green coffee bean, and we had done the study on it, and it works, I'm not going to tell you which supplement or which where we got it or anything like that, because I don't want to be. I'm not supporting any one company or any one idea. I'm supporting the science behind it. And we literally, on the website, were deluged with people saying, that's not fair. If you've done the work and found out one of the products that has the active ingredient in it, why do you make us do the work? Why don't you just tell us the product? How do you answer that? Because obviously what it is it's a critical decision. The patient wants, if you will, in this case, more guidance than the physician wants to give to try and be scientifically valid.
I guess if you know that there are other products that have the same ingredients and there's no scientific reason to think that those products would be different, you could list a whole slew of products so that you're not taking sides. If every product is different enough that you don't know which one might work, tell them the science, and if it means selling the product, I'd do it.
Gotcha. Well, it's an interesting point of view. Now, let's go and talk. When we come back, certainly, but because we're not going to have enough time, in your wife and your case, you went and planned for this the critical decisions in advance. Yet you were surprised while she was actually in the operating room.
I was. You know, you couldn't have had a more prepared patient and spouse in the world than we were. And yet I was called in the middle of her surgery, and I was asked whether we should wake her up and let her recover from the surgery and then ask whether to go in after some more lymph nodes or whether to just go ahead and get the lymph nodes now, a decision I had no idea we would face, one I would have loved to talk with her before she was anesthetized.
And so how did you resolve that in your own mind?
I'm still resolving it, to tell you the truth. We should never have been in that position. At that point, I just made my best guess, and my wife's loving and kind enough that she told me I made the right decision, and I think she's just trying to make me feel better.
Well, it's good. And the good part is she's still alive and doing well to be able to be supportive of the decision maker in this process.
But good decision making means that the physician need to anticipate what choices are coming up so that you can think it through and talk it through in advance and not spring things on people when they have no time to consider it or when people's asleep.
When we come back, Joe, we're going to continue this because this is really the critical part.
Okay, Dr. Mike, thank you. We'll stick around and spend more time with Dr. Peter Ubel. His book is called Critical Decisions, How You and Your Doctor Can Make the Right Medical Choice Together, from HarperCollins Publishers. Stay with us. It's you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Not an offer to sell a franchise. The offer of a franchise can only be made through the delivery of a franchise disclosure document.
How would you like to have your own money-making, fresh, healthy vending franchise? The company that has revolutionized the vending machine business with healthy snacks and drinks has done it again with the world's only combination gourmet organic espresso coffee healthy snack vending machine. These brightly colored, high-tech, dual-temperature control vending machines will be placed in premier locations in your community, businesses, hospitals, schools, military bases, health clubs, and other high-traffic areas. Fully stocked with fresh, healthy foods like yogurts, organic espresso coffee, 100% fruit juices, smoothies, granola bars, and other popular brand name healthy and organic snacks. Consumers demand these kinds of healthy foods, and that's why franchise areas are getting gobbled up across the nation. A highly profitable business for you with full training and support. Plus, Fresh Healthy Vending secures premier locations for your machines on your behalf. Call now, 800-226-5454. Get information on how to own your own groundbreaking Fresh Healthy Vending franchise today. 800-226-5454. 800-226-5454.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath.
Please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness.
It's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath. Cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done,
if any
here, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. While planning gifts for your children, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews this holiday season, don't forget about toy safety. Toys need to match a child's abilities, so always check the manufacturer's age recommendations on the toy first. In general, toy parts should be much larger than the child's mouth to prevent injuries, including choking. To avoid serious eye or ear injuries, steer clear of toys that shoot small objects into the air or make loud noises. The eyes, nose, and other small parts on soft toys and stuffed animals should be securely fastened. If a toy comes with instructions, make sure you read and demonstrate them to the child and make sure she understands the proper way to use the toy. And note, never buy hobby kits such as chemistry sets for any child younger than 12. For more tips on keeping your holidays safe with your children and family, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are Dr. Mike, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galuski.
Dr. Peter Ubell, the author of Critical Decisions, How You and Your Doctor Can Make the Right Medical Choice Together, from HarperCollins Publishers. Here's Dr. Mike.
Now, we're talking to Peter Ubell. This book is Critical Decisions, and as you probably heard in the first segment, I actually loved it. Because it's written so well. It's a series of engaging stories, one of which we started to talk about was Peter's discussions around his wife's breast cancer. And we've got a couple of emails, Peter, but I want to keep going where we are. And so what happened apparently was the surgeon, your wife, and you did not discuss the possibility of the lymph nodes being positive at time of surgery. Is that right?
Absolutely had not. You're correct. But I had read a recent study. Again, I wasn't like most patients or most spouses. There had been a recent study in the New England Journal that showed you don't need to take out more lymph nodes than just a couple, just to see what's going on in there. And when my surgeon, when he called and asked me, well, can I take out more? I said, well, what about this study? Something I expect most spouses wouldn't have asked. And he said, oh, well, I don't think she's like the patients in that study. And then tried to convince me she needed to have more nodes removed. Really caught us off guard.
And so that's because the metastases in the node was bigger than the ones described in the study, as I read it. I mean, great and engaging, I mean, it's so engaging I can remember some of the details of your stories. They're so well written. And so when this happened, you then thought about her on the table and said, what happens if the surgeon wakes her up and convinces her to have nodes done? I'll have exposed her to two anesthetics instead of one, et cetera.
And she, and I'm sorry, I know it's your profession, she hates being anesthetized, hates coming out of anesthesia. I knew she hated going through that. But I also know that when you remove more lymph nodes, you have a chance of long-term side effects, like edema in the arm that can be very, very painful and disturbing. So I was very conflicted, and I really wished we'd made this critical decision in advance.
Now, what the question then is, I assume that the surgeon and you both thought it was a low likelihood discussion to have or decision to make, because otherwise you might have had that in advance.
Well, you know, there aren't many things that can happen there. You go in to take two nodes. They're called sentinel nodes. And if they are normal, you're done. If they show, if they're big, then he would have said, maybe we need to do more. And if they're medium sized, maybe we don't. So that's just the three options. We could have discussed it in advance. But he didn't. I didn't certainly know that that would be even an alternative.
So let's go on a more general thing, which is, you were obviously a very educated couple. Your wife works in medicine and is a high-powered administrator. Has she ever been your boss?
At home, yes.
Well, but one of the chapters you have, chapter 13, which also is incredibly engaging, is something that all of the physicians in the audience have to bear with, is how do you prepare physicians for both correctly prepared and ill-prepared patients? That is, patients often now come into my office, at least, with 12 pages of internet junk and maybe a couple pages of internet good stuff, and are asking constant questions about it. What's the physician to do in that case?
It's always a juggling act. I think when people come in with the printed out information, you at least have the advantage now of knowing what's on their mind, what they care about, which is hugely important for you to know how to kind of craft a conversation that's going to address their needs and what they care about. Now, there are people who will never stop having questions. I think you can't have all this discussion have to between the doctor and the patient. You need other healthcare providers to help out at times. And some of those patients need to get additional conversations, and additional education outside of the doctor-patient encounter.
So where we are, I want to thank Peter Ubold. This is a wonderful book, Critical Decisions. It's engaging, fun to read. Even if you don't take away any of the medical stuff, even if you don't take away any of the stuff and hopefully never have to have a critical discussion, this is a great book, and it's a great book not only for patients, which all of us are, but also for physicians and anyone in the healthcare field that's a professional. This is a great book for all caregivers. Peter, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you.
Joe?
Okay, Dr. Mike, thank you very much. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com for any information or questions about guests or some of the topics we cover. Before we end the hour, it's time for Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week.
You, the owner's manual. This is the Real Age Tip of the Week with Michael Roizen, MD.
The title, Clinical Trial to Assess New Blood Pressure Treatment for Drug-Resistant Hypertension. It's bad enough, as we'll hear in one of the medical stories this week, over 50% of people after a heart attack don't fill their prescriptions. Well, in addition, 30% of the people with high blood pressure are resistant. That is, they can't or don't control their heart and brain harmful condition, even with multiple medications and some lifestyle changes. So what's a physician to do? Well, fortunately, a new discovery may do more to improve their blood pressure readings and heart health. Turns out deactivating certain nerves that control contraction and dilation of blood vessels in the kidney can, when you both interfere with them, and you do that with a radio frequency surgery, you put this probe in, it sends out radio frequency waves, deactivates their nerves, and guess what? Their blood pressure gets under control. That's right. In about 75% of the cases, they need nothing more than this, and it controls blood pressure. Now, there's a bigger study to assess whether that's true. It got approved in Europe. There's a big study underway now. And even if there is a way to persistently treat high blood pressure, you still need to practice healthy habits to reduce your risk of strokes, heart attacks, impotence, wrinkling, dementia, all associated with hypertension. The real age benefit of controlling your blood pressure? 9 years younger. And that's the Real Age Tip of the Week. Joe?
Okay, Dr. Mike, thanks. Now, listen, there's still another Real Age Tip of the Week coming up in the second hour, so there's still more to learn from Dr. Mike. Plus, in the second hour, we bring out the big guns. In the second hour, Dr. Gary Ginsberg. He's our toxicologist. What's toxic? What's not? We'll talk
back
about
from his honeymoon.
Yes, so he should be happy. Very happy segment with Dr. G. Toxic bird seed, free on black market. And how about it? Are plastic water filters okay? That's Dr. Gary Ginsberg. And straight talk from the docks with Dr. Arthur Perry in the second half of the hour. So hour number one is done, but hour number two is coming up. It's you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. Thanks for listening.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to greatstartgtl.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.